This is Dr. Max Schultz, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time. And again, we count it our privilege to come into your homes and spend this time with you. We are an independent fundamental church. If you maybe have just moved into the area and are hunting a Bible-believing, teaching church, then we would like to invite you to come and visit us here, because the Bible is our textbook, and that's what we stand upon, and that's the Word of God, which not only saves the soul, but also enables us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So the Bible is our textbook. We hope that you'll consider coming. We'd love to have you and to see you this Sunday morning. And we're grateful to the Lord for providing the funds and the means in order to be on the radio for a half hour each Sunday morning. We appreciate very much, and I want to take just a moment and thank each one of the listeners that have been so very kind over the years here to write us and let us know that you're listening to the broadcast. We have received many, many letters. Most of them, I would say, 99 out of 100, have been very complimentary, and I appreciate that very much. And you can tell when the letters come, once in a while someone will give a suggestion about this or that, and I appreciate that. And I also appreciate very much that you can tell by the tone of the letter and the way people write that they love the Lord very, very much. Once in a while, you may find someone that disagrees with you on a particular point in the Bible or that, and I appreciate those letters because I appreciate your point of view on it. And in some things on the Bible, we do have the liberty and maybe to see it just a little bit different when it's not a major doctrinal issue. I think, and we've had many people write and ask about financial support in that, and appreciate very much if you can help in support of the radio broadcast. If God's blessed you in some special way that you would like to do that, then and have a part of every soul that's saved through listening to the broadcast. Every Christian that is encouraged in the Word of God that we attempt to teach as truthfully and honestly as we possibly can. Now let's go on into our Bible study now, as we're in the book of James here, and I'd like for you to turn with me now, if you will, over to chapter 3, and we want to speak one more message on what about using the tongue that God has given us here. It can either be used for destruction or it can be used for building. But in verse 8, notice here, if you will, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and with wisdom. Now, to show the importance of the tongue and what damage it can do, I would like for you to follow with me now as we go to Psalms and Proverbs in the Old Testament here, where we seek out some of the other verses that have to do with the tongue. So first of all, I would like for you, if you will, to go with me now to Psalms chapter 55, if you will. And here we have a psalm of David here, and yet it has much to say about the tongue. And one of the things here that David complained about, and I think is one of the biggest disappointments to any Christian, as well as anyone else, is the fact that when you have someone who walks with you, and you have someone who goes to church with you, and you have someone who you are good friends with, and have that person actually turn around and just tear you to pieces. But notice here, if you will, now in Psalms chapter 55, and you'll find out in verses 1 and 2, we have David declaring his defense now and turning to the Lord. And in verses 3 to 5, we have his depression, and then in verses 6 to 8, we have his desire. But then we're going on down and find out what David encountered here, which I'm sure at some time in your life you have encountered or I have encountered. So let's notice verses 1 and 2. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication, and attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Now, as we go on down, you're going to see why David does make a complaint and why he does make a noise, because his heart was broken over what had happened. Now, let's go on down to verses 3, 4, and 5, where we have his depression, how bad it really hurt him. All right, here we go. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me, and fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Have you ever felt that way when you find somebody that is really running you down with their tongue and saying slanderous things about you that may not be true? Now notice here, if you will, and here was David's desire. Now, I'm sure each one of you and I have felt the same way as David did, and we'd just like to take off and the heck with everything and say the heck with humanity. I'm just going to get out of this mess and leave. In fact, we find this, because we're going to relate this now to things that happen in churches, and this is what happens many times. Now, I'm sure you'll relate with verse 6, 7, and 8. And I says, what David said, oh, if I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. In other words, boy, if I had wings like a dove, I'd just take off and the heck with this. There's no sense fooling with it. And lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. Then stop and pause and consider what I've said. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. In other words, I would just up and leave and get out of it and the heck with the whole thing. But now notice what happened, and David declares it here in verses 12 and 13 and 14. So let's read this, if you will. And I think this is one of the most discouraging things that can hurt a person more than anything else, and it's described here. In verse 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. You see, if it was someone, one of my enemies, then I could understand that. There's no problem about that. If somebody that just doesn't like me and goes ahead and slanders me and says things about me or you or whoever it might be, then that's understandable because they openly declare they don't like me. And someone who hated me magnify themselves against me, then I would have hid myself from him, or I would have restrained from him. Heck with him. I would not fool with him if he hates me. I can handle that. But notice what happened here. But it was, though a man mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked into the house of God in company. Now this was the man who deceived David. This is a person who you would go to church together with every Sunday morning. This was a man of my own equal, and my guide, and my acquaintance. In other words, I knew him very well. I really respected him for the way that he acted, and then we're going to find out this man turned against him and did what we have seen lost people do, and yet here was what this man did, a real close friend and acquaintance, and no wonder David felt like, well, I'd just like to have wings like a dove. I'd just like to take off and go into the wilderness and stay there and just get away from all these type of people. In fact, it is this kind of thing that actually people in churches get discouraged about. And they'll hear the backbiting and the talking and so forth. And then their attitude is just like David. Well, heck with this, I'm going to leave. Well, if their attitude is right, here is the sad thing that happens in many churches sometimes. The people who are causing the trouble stay, and the good people leave. And it should be the other way around. The good people ought to stay, even though you may feel like David, and I'm sure we all have. Instead of running out and just going away in seclusion, say, heck, I'm never going back to church again. Then you leave the troublemakers in the church, and the church never does grow. And that's what happens. But notice on down, if you will, in verse 20, he hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him, and he hath broken his covenant. In other words, let's read it one more time. He hath put his hands against such as be at peace with him. In other words, he's turned against the one who is his friend, and he hath broken his covenant. He really broke his trust. Now notice here, and boy, it describes some. I've seen them. I'm sure you have too. The words of his mouth are smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. And then we find out what David said. Here's the only way that we can handle a situation like this. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And if we do not do that, if the person who is right and the person who has not deceived the friendship, the person who has not went to church with someone else and been a friend, and then that find out that person slanders them in one thing or another and tells lies about them and uses their tongue just to whack them in pieces, then the person who is innocent ought to cast their burden upon the Lord. He will sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But I want to say this now. If you're listening as a Christian, and you've had someone that do that to you in church, then God does not want you to hope that you have wings like a dove where you can fly out into the wilderness here and remain in the wilderness. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to hasten your escape from the windy storm and the tempest. He wants you to stay there and put your trust, cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And we find out in verse 23, but thou, O God, shall bring them, the guilty person, down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Now trust in thee. And the whole point is, the people who are right in a church, and you're in and you're a member of that church and wanting to serve Christ, listen, you're going to find adversity wherever you go in this life, and you're going to find it in the house of God. And you're going to find people that are in there that are not doing the right thing, that are slandering, that are using their tongue, that cannot keep their mouth shut, and are always trying to stir up trouble and cause strife and pretend to be your friend, and then they're not your friend, and tell lies about you. You're going to find that in every church to a certain degree at some time or another. That doesn't mean every church has trouble, but somewhere down the line when you have people, every church will experience that at some time. But the point is, as a child of God, God says, you're not to leave. And the trouble many times in churches, and I've seen this many times, the good people leave and leave the church with the troublemakers. And God doesn't want that. He says, if you'll cast your care upon me, your burden upon me, I will sustain you. I want you to stay. I want you to be used of the Lord. You didn't do anything wrong. You were just the victim of this. And you let me go ahead and take care of the people that are doing this. And my point is, don't leave your church because you've experienced this. Don't run out. What do you think the pastor would feel when the good people leave and he's there stuck with the misfits, or he's stuck there with the busybodies, or he's stuck there with all the problems? How do you think the pastor would feel? A pastor would like to pastor the people that are of a good spirit, people that are not trying to cause trouble, that have their minds and their goals set on winning souls to Christ. But then when the good people leave, there the pastor is stuck with all of the troublemakers, and that puts him in quite a position to go on and serve the Lord. A point we're making, don't you run out, and I know that we've all felt like David. We wish we had wings like a dove. We really do. For then we could fly away and be at rest, but we really wouldn't. But we are to stick it out and to do the Lord's service. Give the support to the Lord, the pastor. Cast your burdens upon him. He'll sustain you. And don't leave the wrong people in to run the church, and you run out of the church. You stay there, and you face the situation by the power of God, and make the people who are wrong get right with the Lord, or let them leave the church, not you. You see, God wants to use you. Now, let's go over here, if you will, and let's go with me now, if you will, to Psalms chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. While we're over here, let's go to Psalms chapter 12 and verses 1 to 5. Now, the next two verses we're going to take, we're going to show you here that God will take care of those things. He really will. And so we'll wait a second while we go to Psalms chapter 12 here in verses 1 to 5 and find out here, after the matter is described here, that God will take care of the situation. No matter what the troublemakers do, no matter what they do with their mouth, the end of the matter is in the hands of God. Okay, chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Here we go. Help, Lord, for the goodly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and a tongue that speaketh proud things. See, the Lord will do that. Eventually, he will cut that off. Who hath said? Now, this is their attitude, that have a slick tongue, and they can really talk and everything else. and tell one lie and another lie after another, and they'll get a whole church stirred up. And it says, now notice what they think. With our tongue we will prevail. In other words, we can talk our way out of anything. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? In other words, we're going to do what we want to do. Who in the world is going to tell me what to do? And that's their attitude of this type of person who cannot control their tongue. Seemingly, sometimes they go along, everything goes all right, they stir up all the trouble, and then they set back, everybody else gets the blame, and they come out smelling like a rose. Now that happens many, many times. But you'll find out, the Lord said, I'm going to deal with that. Now notice in verse 5, for the oppressions of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, and for this reason, God says, for the oppressions that the poor have suffered, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, that's the Lord, saith the Lord, and I will set him in safety from him that puffeth up at him. In other words, they may go on for a while, but God says, listen, I love that poor person, I love that needy person, and it'll only go on for a while, and I'm going to rise up, I'm going to put an end to this, I will put you in a place of safety, I'll take care of you. Now, maybe you've been the victim of a slanderous tongue. Maybe you've been the victim of, you know, sometimes I think the most vicious is not the fact someone just comes out and tells a lie about you, but someone takes what you say and twists it around just a little bit and puts a whole different slant on it, and when the other person receives it, here it wasn't the way you meant it at all, and then pretty soon you got one person, well, you know, did they really say it? Did they really mean that? And, you know, well, maybe they don't, well, I didn't think they would do that, and pretty soon you have a whole church stirred up. Because you can take a person who's a master at that and just twist one little thing around, twist it around, and pretty soon you got more hard feelings in the church than you know what to do with. Well, God says, I'll tell you what. Now, I love the needy, and I love the poor, and I love those that are righteous in heart that are not causing. I love the peacemaker, and I love those who are the victims of these kind of people. And I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to put you in a place of safety, and I will not let it go on forever. Now hold your place here and go on over, because we have another portion of Scripture here that deals with primarily the same thing. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 16, if you will. Let's go here to Proverbs chapter 16, and notice here in verses 27 to 30, and then notice in verse 33. All right, Proverbs chapter 16, and let's begin here in verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things, moving his lips to bring it to pass. His heart is so far removed from the Lord, a person, it can be a man, it can be a woman. Doesn't matter who it is. But an ungodly man diggeth up evil. He's always hunting something. He is here to bring up evil, and he's trying. Do you know there are people who are jealous of friendship of other people? These kind of people sometimes, and there are people like that, are very jealous of a friendship of other people. And they'll work their way in and try to do anything they possibly can to break up that friendship. They'll tell little things here, little things there, throw little seeds of doubt here. Well, you know, so-and-so said this. Now, maybe he didn't mean what you know, and pretty soon the little seeds of doubt are sown one thing or another. And friendships have been broken up completely because of this type of a person, an ungodly man that diggeth up evil. In his lips there is a burning fire. He's a forward man, he's afraid of nothing. He's a violent man that enticeth his neighbor, leadeth him into the way that is not good. And boy, he has the flattering lips, you see. But now notice here, and this ought to be a comfort to you if you've been a victim of this sort of thing, or you've lost a friend over because this friend has believed something has been twisted and turned that you never met at all, and yet somebody else took it and separated your friendship from somebody else. Look down here, if you will, and let's go here to verse 33. You'll notice this. The lot is cast into the lap. They did it. But I'll tell you this. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, God will not allow that person to get away with that. Now, you may have done this and cast the whole lot into the lap, and the Lord's going to take it. And even though you think you have gotten away with this or gotten away with that or you have caused this kind of trouble, you have separated very chief friends that have been friends for a long time, you've put a division in there by your little insinuations, your little twisting of what that person said, your outright lies, if you want to put it that way. But God says, you've cast the lot into the lap, but I'm going to bring the end of the matter, and you'll usually find out in time those lies will come out, and God will take care of the situation. Now, let's go on over and look at something else while we're over here. Notice here in Proverbs chapter 17, while we're in the book of Proverbs here, chapter 17, and notice here in verse 14, if you will, chapter 17, verse 14. When these things happen, here is what takes place. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it is meddled with. Do you know what? When this strife begins, it spreads and it spreads, and it's like just a dam breaking, and letteth out water like a flood. It'll continue to go and continue to go, and pretty soon you've got a whole church flooded with a bunch of talk and a bunch of lies and a bunch of backbiting, all because of one or two people. That can happen. But God says, you be wise and you understand what's going on. And you be the type of Christian that is mature enough not to run out of the church. Yes, you've had your feelings hurt, and so has many other Christians. But your strength, as far as your spirituality is concerned, is tested when these things happen to you. And God says, I want you to come to me for a shield of refuge. I don't want you to run out. You stay, and the troublemakers ought to leave, but don't you leave and let the troublemakers stay, or you've let the Lord down, you've let the pastor down, and you have part of destroying a good work in your church. You stay. And if the troublemaker can stay, so can you. You be stronger than the person who is wrong, and let God work on him, and he'll eventually get him out. Well, I see our time's gone here. Before we close this morning, again, we wanted to bring these things in about the tongue. I hope you're not a troublemaker. I hope you're not a divisive person who's trying to separate the friendship of other people. I hope you're not that kind of person. You'll never be a happy person. God will take care of your situation, and you're headed for destruction if you're that type of Christian. God will bless the peacemaker and those that are righteous in heart. If you're listening today and you do not know that you have eternal life, you're not absolutely sure that you're going to heaven when you die, then here's how simple that it is. God has concluded we all have sinned, that you and I. God has also said that he loves the sinner. And we find out in Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in John 3:16, God loved the world. He loves you. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. If you realize you're a sinner and Christ is a wonderful Savior, and he died on that cross to save you from spending eternity in hell so you could have a home in heaven with him, he bought your right to live with him for all time and eternity. All he asks you to do is believe the record God gave of his Son, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, I want to thank you for joining with us. Our time slipped away. I'd like for you to join us in our World Wide Web, www.heritagebbc.com. And also, if you've never written us, you'll do that. It is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.